Okay, hold it just a minute. I've got to say something before we get too far down the road here. Yes, we've got some extremely important things to talk about that very probably you won't hear from any local pulpits because, very unfortunately, this isn't pulpit-friendly stuff. But it is Kingdom of God friendly. It is Jesus friendly. And isn't that what we're about? So think about this. How do you start a church? In a town where the church has already been started. Let's think biblically here and get away from all this sectarian gobbledygook that has crowded out common sense and biblical revelation all to support somebody's walls and personal pulpit. Okay, you think about that and I will be right back. Now, where did that music go? Oh, there it is. Good music. Keep it going. Da 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 da. Ba da da. I'm loving it. Okay, here I am. You can stop the music now. So the first thing we want to talk about in some depth, actually quite a bit of depth, is the need for reformation in the Christian church. I mean, that's why you're here, right? So let's start with this. More and more people are sensing the need for change, but they typically, very unfortunately, don't get outside the box. We like to tweak the edges a little bit, do a little remodel job, facelift, or maybe give the church a new shirt, or even a new pair of pants. But we don't like to think in terms of a major reinstall, so we like to talk about things that are really within the boundaries of what got us where we are today. We're trying to fight the problem with more of the problem, and that's like taking the tail of the serpent to fight its head. And that just doesn't work. So many don't think that this current system of the church is a problem at all. They think it's what you put into it, it's what you do with it. You just got to have the right people, the right buildings, the right location, and on it goes. And honestly, my mind says, how long are we going to keep doing this without realizing it's not working? It's time to think in different terms. Go to a new paradigm. People just don't realize that the current church system is the problem, not the solution. Now, isn't that great? And that's the problem right there. You might as well be questioning people's salvation. That's how serious this is in people's minds. It's kind of akin to what happened under Martin Luther. People's salvation was so tied up in the Catholic Church, they couldn't think in other terms. And if you read that history, you find out that Mr. Luther had the same problem, at least in the beginning. And let's be real honest here, it is really hard to see beyond what you've been brought up in, what's normal for your generation. The current church system is part of our psyche, whether we want to admit it or not. But the fact is, God is turning the page on this. We've just gone so long in this current system, we can't imagine it wouldn't be right. We can't imagine there may be something better. Protestantism, as we have known it, has been around a little over 500 years. The kings of Judah and Israel lasted about the same amount of time, about 500 years. Do we think they ever questioned it? That it wasn't the will of God? Well, guess what? No, they didn't question it, and it wasn't the will of God. Let's read a scripture here concerning this. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. It says, "Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, 'Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations.' But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.' So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, 'Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them.'" So it can't be much clearer that God did not want them to have kings, but because they pushed it, God gave them their kings, and they had them for about 500 years. You see, God gives us enough rope to hang ourselves if that's what we want to do, and it doesn't mean that he didn't work with the situation, because he certainly did, but it was never his will for those whole 500 years, and because of it, they never entered into many of the blessings that God had in store for them. You read in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 the incredible blessings that God was willing to pour out on them if they would just be obedient, but they suffered the loss of practically all of it because they didn't walk in His covenant. Now, it's the same way today with the church, and it's amazing. I said it's amazing how out of touch we are with the similarities between us and what Old Testament Israel experienced. And the biggest part of the problem is that we have adapted ourselves so much to our walled-up sectarian brand of Christianity, we don't see any serious differences between our way and God's way. Yes, it's called deception. And at this point of time, 500 years into it, it's going to take a major move of God to get us out of it, which is what broadcasts like this are all about. Okay, we're a little over halfway through this. They're going to be about 10 minutes long, so let's just take a deep breath. Count to three. One, two, three, and we'll go on. So let's go back to the original question at the beginning of the broadcast, which was, how do you start a church in a town where the church has already been started? Now, I'm assuming you've got to think about that just a little bit, because it has been common practice in Protestantism for centuries. But I don't care about common practice. I care about the bedrock of our faith, which has always been Scripture, even if it puts the kibosh on current church practices. The practice of starting churches in towns where the true Christian church has already been started is nothing more than institutionalized division. Yes, you got it. We have taken division and dignified it with a whole pile of theological sounding rationales and justifications that trash Scripture. But oh my, they sound so religious, syrupy, sweet, lovey-dovey religious. I mean, if the gates of heaven could be swung open by syrupy, sweet religious lingo, this stuff would certainly qualify. But the only thing that qualifies us for heaven is faith in Christ and obedience to His word. But to make matters worse, we not only encourage this thing, we finance the whole debacle under the guise of providing the church with a nice variety, giving people multiple choice to choose a church that best suits their fancy, their personal comfort zone, your own personal beliefs, as if the Word of God can be broken up into various camps. Friends, the gospel, the Word of God, cannot be divided into competing camps. Quote, "You may believe that, but I don't," is not how truth works, and it never has worked that way. Relativism works that way, but not truth, especially biblical truth. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:13, "Is Christ divided?" The body of Christ is one. It is indivisible. It has been made that way by verdict of heaven, regardless of our foolishness. To split it into factions is absolute heresy. It is utter rebellion against God's plan for the church. Biblically, when a church leader or pastor comes into a town, you work with the church that has been started, as long as it is not apostate. If it's the real McCoy, you work with it to build it up and expand it. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, today's pulpits were not built on this kind of thinking. The way we do church never will be built on this kind of thinking. But the church that is beginning to rise up, especially among the youth, will be built this way, because it's kingdom of God thinking, and millions will soon come into it. Be back soon. This was Luther Cannon. Okay, guys, let's wrap it up.